My heart is full. How about yours? I last night I was telling Jane as we were back at her place. I said last night was like one of those times when you can just feel the presence of the Spirit. You know, when people just want to linger, they're energized. They love each other just a little bit more. There's just something that happens when you just sense the very presence of God. And that's been going on these days together. And to be honest, it's incredible to think that I get to be a part of this ministry and what God does both here and around the world through this place that has meant so much to me and my own life, our own family, and so many of you as well. And I love our theme. It's a theme that resonates deep within my heart. I think of that word go, and I think of all sorts of things because that you hear that in many different places. In Colorado, when we lived in Denver until 2 years ago, there were car dealerships all over the place, and their name was just Go. It was owned by some dude named John Elway, and it was get in a car, like it, buy it, and go. Just on the side of the building, go. Just two letters there. It makes me think of the GoPros, those cameras that you put on your helmet for adventure so you can remember the adventure and relive it again through that. There's a game that's international, Pokemon Go, where you go out and adventure and you find things. Go. It's a word of movement. It's a word of action. It's a word of mission. It's a word of mission to go. The greatest go adventure that has ever been placed on mankind, though, was given by Jesus to his disciples. And he told them to go out to the entire world and tell everyone about him. To go. It's a mission. It's a movement. It's action. And here is what Mount Hermon does best when it comes to go. We help individuals, we help organizations, we help churches go by providing for them a place to stop and get refreshed, to get renewed, to get restored, and to get transformed. I'm a poster child of that, where I've come here and stopped for a few days so that I could go on a mission for him. What a great purpose to give our lives to. Mount Hermon is a spiritual microwave. I was told that by a speaker last year who had never been here before. He said, this place is a spiritual microwave. And you know what? He's right. It's unfair what happens here if you're in the church world, as I was for most all of my adult life as a pastor. It's unfair because people come to church and they're there for an hour and 15 minutes and they had a fight on the way to church and then they sit in the service and they get to hear a message and hopefully they're touched by God, but then they go right back home or they go to a restaurant and then they watch television and they'll put on the Giants, you know. Hey, I got to say it while I can, please. The Rockies are in first, the Giants are in last. Okay, I just said it because I might not be able to say it ever again. And then they go back to work, they go back to their normal life. But when they come here, they're here for days. And as was mentioned, maybe they're technology doesn't work so good. And maybe, just maybe, they might have many meals around a table with family or friends. And they walk in the redwoods and they get a feel for a huge God. And they hear messages that are strong and bold from God's word. And they get loved. And they receive hope. And they get rest. And they get transformed. Let me remind us of the words of Jesus to his followers And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." To go. Our mission statement at Mount Hermon, which has been set for a long, long time, is this. Our mission is to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, to teach the authoritative word of God, and serve his church in our mission, in our nation and throughout the world. Jane and I have been given our lives to this mission, our entire marriage, to proclaim Jesus, to teach his word, to serve his church. I want to tell you, I have the privilege of working with our board of directors. That's the group that is over policy, and they protect this place. I also have the privilege of working with our trustees. They oversee the spiritual aspect, although both boards certainly do. A number of those board members and trustees are here today. If you're one of those, would you please stand up or raise your hand wherever you are right now? Yeah, and over the back and over here. Yeah. I don't just say this because they're in this room. If you ask Jane privately, she would tell you the same. I love our board and I love our trustees. Not every leader can say that. And we are privileged with godly men and women who help guide this place. It's a great privilege. I've been asked a lot this last year. I've just hit the two-year mark last week, two years. I've been asked a lot lately, so 5 years from now, where do you see Mount Hermon? I see it here. But I want to tell you what the Lord has really put on my heart with regards to our focus and our heartbeat, at least for this season. And it's simply this. I want to see what happens here just to be amazing. That's not real sophisticated. It's not a great slogan. But let me tell you why. Because what happens here, it works. It works. Lives are touched and changed. Do we need to be relevant and tweak some things and change some things as we go? Always we have to do that. But what is going on here is working. Good illustration, Jeremy. And another stack of 350. People are falling all over each other to come here. Because something happens here. I think it's because God's here. Amen. And they're drawn to him. We package it. We make it fun. We make it meaningful. It's beautiful. I really think deep down they're drawn to God. And they want to be in a place that puts him first. What happens here works because God is working in what we do. To him be the glory for that. That's his work. And lives are literally transformed. Lives transformed, period. That's why we get up in the morning as staff members. So another life can meet Jesus and be transformed. So someone who's discouraged can now have encouragement. A marriage that is broken can be brought back together. A person with an addiction can begin to have victory over that addiction. Because Jesus gets into a life and he changes it from the inside out. Lives transformed, period. And I have heard of numerous people since I've been here in these 2 years who have told me the story. I gave my life to Christ at Redwood Camp. I gave my life to Christ at Kidder Creek. I gave my life to Christ up in Ponderosa. My grandpa gave his life to Christ in Mount Hermon. My grandma gave her life to Christ in Mount Hermon. I got called into the ministry at Mount Hermon. I decided to go on a path this way because of Mount Hermon. I met my mate at Mount Hermon. We're serving the Lord together. I chose to go in the mission field because of Mount Hermon. I completely changed my ministry focus because of Mount Hermon. Oh, that's my story. That happened to me here in this room. Listen to this quote from a recent Mount Hermon camper who said, Mount Hermon helps grow faith of families in a Christian vacation spot. They present Jesus and the Word of God in ways that transform lives. It's true. So with this clear mission before us, I want to take you behind the scenes from my seat as the CEO here of some of the things that are going on behind. And I could literally go on for hours, and I promise I won't. You are getting a good taste of what goes on, and there's so much more. It's incredible, actually, and a little overwhelming sometimes. So let me go through these fairly quickly, but they're important to go through. First of all, and I'm just going to just say it because we've been talking about it all weekend, but what goes on here is effective and life-transforming ministry. That's bottom line. And the moment we get away from that, we should close up shop. That's what we're about. Secondly, we have a strong and committed staff. Have you noticed that this weekend? Really, really good staff, godly staff, effective staff, committed staff who care deeply about this place. And it's always dangerous to single out anybody because they all are critical and important. But I want to thank our executive team. It's really only been a team together as we are now since the fall. And you've heard from every one of them up here. Bill Fernald, I'm going in the order of their longevity. Bill Fernald, 21 years, Bill, right? JR, 19. Nate Peppercorn, 7, around there. Jeremy Bentley, round 2, and since the middle of last summer. And then Brian Hayes, since right about October. And it's a team that is sent from God to be here. Just a little aside, some of you know this, and I don't know if they want me saying this, but they don't know what I'm going to say, so it's too bad. But Jeremy, you know, used to be on staff here and went away, and then actually I hired him as a pastor at the church I pastored in Mission Hills in Colorado, and then came out here. He also is married to Sarah Williams, and he is the son-in-law of Roger and Rachel Williams. So for him to be here, he has such a heartbeat. His mother and stepdad have a cabin here. This is part of his DNA. Brian Hayes, if you know the word Hayes, the name Hayes, Ed Hayes, Maryland. Ed was the executive director before Roger Williams. That's his dad. And Brian was on staff here and then led a camp for 18 years and now came back here basically over finances and facilities and all of that. I've been coming here since I was 6. The longevity of the heartbeat for this place from our top leaders and then these guys who've already been around for a long time and you've been so exposed to them over the years, it's incredible what we have here. We have a staff that's been working really hard at working together, at being a team together. And we love our staff and we are committed to them. And this is a hard place to have staff in a camping ministry and nonprofit in one of the most expensive places to live on the planet. And we have a lot of difficult challenges with that, from salaries and benefits to housing. How do you get somebody to live here when it's incredibly expensive? And some of the housing that we do have, quite honestly, I'm just going to be honest, I wouldn't want our own daughters living in some of them, and so we got to make some changes and really care for our staff in ways that it needs to be done, because you know the Lord is in charge, but you're really only as good as your staff, and I want to keep these folks around for a long time 40 years, it's all right. You know, you did pretty good. So even if I am on a trial basis, Dave Talbot, his retirement will be sooner than we had thought. A little aside, one of the first things I did when I came here is I got Dave Talbot and Ken Harrower and Rhonda Moeller, and we had lunch together, and I just said, help me, teach me. And that we've been doing that about once a quarter. And anyway, it's awesome that these guys are around. I wanted to also share with you several more things, in that we've really been trying to work on our focus. Mount Hermon has got all sorts of ministries, as you can see, even more than we haven't touched on this weekend. And we really feel a need to get more focused so that we can be better at what we do versus, you know, just a little bit too thin. One of the areas that we made a change of this last year is we have now turned over Whisper Canyon Camp to another entity. So actually next week, if everything goes as we think, the papers will be signed, or maybe it's 2 weeks, official, all done, but they're almost completely done. And Whisper Canyon is a camp that if you go to King City, you know, there's a Starbucks there and a gas station, so that's why you know it, King City, and you get off and you go about 40 minutes south of there, then you'll get to this camp, Whisper Canyon. It was gifted to Mount Hermon, basically 13 years ago. And we've had ministry there, but we've never had like a staff person on site. What's interesting is the vast majority of the groups that go, and there's not a lot of groups, but the groups that go come from the Bay Area, not even from the areas down there. And we began to look at, could there be another group that would take that's a local group, that would pour their heart into it, and they would really have it for that local area. And we started to look into that, and God quickly brought First Baptist Church of Paso Robles, who has a heart for this place. Majority of them know it. Even some of the original people who gifted it to Mount Hermon attend that church, and we would love to have it. We would love to nurture it. We would love to grow it. And they already are working with other churches in the area to fill it up. And so we made that decision this year. And you know what? It's a really God-honoring decision, because we want that ministry to flourish. And we weren't helping it to flourish, to be quite honest. So that is being turned over. And I want to thank a few people that have really poured a lot into it. First of all, Peninsula Bible Church Cupertino, who's up here in the Bay Area, they have loved that camp. And they have poured a lot of time and resources into it. And they're still going to be involved with it, but I want to thank them and their leadership for their care of it, in particular Larry and Jennifer Lewis, John Singley, who is here, and Ryan Hinn from that church, who just have poured so much into that place. Also want to thank here Don Brosamley, who oversaw it on our behalf, and also Jeremy Bentley, as he has cared for the handing off of all of this. So, everybody that's been involved with this transition is thrilled, and I'm just grateful to God that this is a viable camp, a great ministry, and it's going to be in great hands. I also wanted to share with you, Velocity Bike Park. For those of you who don't know, that we have property down here. As you go out on Conference Drive, it's on the right. It's 14.4 acres. For 4 years now, we've been in process of trying to get approval to put a bike park in there so we can get kids and youth there and touch them with the Lord. And every year you come back, you hear the same thing. We're still in process. I'm happy to say, however, this year, we're still in process. And it's a difficult process. They're not picking on Mount Hermon. It's not about our faith. The previous owner of that land tried to put low-income housing and finally gave up. There's a strong environmentalist groups. There's people just don't want growth. It's not just Mount Hermon issues. You ask anybody else around here who tries to build, it's tough. But then you have an open field by a major area. It's all the tougher. There's also rising costs that go with this. The project is now, as we're looking at it, costing far more than we originally had thought. And I just want to tell you, just to be real upfront, we're prayerfully trying to figure this out. We don't know what all the future is with this. And so if you pray about that, that God would give us wisdom about where to go with this and how to handle it. And so that's a real challenge, and it takes a lot of focus, as you can imagine. I also wanted to share with you that, as was talked about a little bit before, is it rained a lot this winter. And you saw last night some of the pictures of some of the damage, and I think it was said around 23 different areas of damage. But not only was it some physical damage, by the way, I think it could have been way worse. We literally had rivers, not streams, and it could have been way worse. So we're grateful to the Lord. He's protected this place. But what happened with this, however, are arteries like Highway 17, Highway 9 shut down quite a bit during those winter months. And literally, from what I've been told, we had more group cancellations this winter than we've had in the last 20 years combined. So you start adding up the loss of revenue from that, and it's pretty significant. And then on top of that, our adventure area, where people come up and they go on our canopy tour, they come in Sequoia ropes course, they come and they do our team building. We had to cancel that far more than it was open. And literally in a few months, we lost hundreds of thousands of dollars very quickly. And one of the things that we were already working on was a financial sustainability plan, because Mount Hermon, as you know more than anybody, has to raise millions of dollars just for operational cost. And we would love to get to the place that we still raise millions of dollars every year, but that money goes more for be able to take care of this place and to have new initiatives where we go out and do ministry like Jeremy was talking about. We would like to change our financial model so that we're more sustainable, and that the money is being able to be forwarding things. So we've been talking about that, but when you hit a crisis financially, it's amazing how it speeds up the work. And we've been working hard behind the scenes and changing our model. We just made some decent cuts in our budget that we put into place immediately. And part of our board's word to us as staff was, do it in such a way that our campers won't feel it. They won't, you know, that your camp experience is still outstanding. So we're doing our very best to do that. I will say, though, you'll see maybe occasionally some things that won't be here anymore. Like, for instance, tomorrow. Tomorrow is Mother's Day, and Mount Hermon has had a Mother's Day brunch for nobody seems to know how long. Long time. And maybe you heard it was canceled. I've heard a few people talk about it this weekend, by the way, and how happy they are not of that decision. But it's a very practical decision. Literally, in the last several years, about a third of the people have been coming to that brunch and service compared to in the past. For whatever reasons, it's not that the quality has gone down. Things have changed. We don't know all the reasons why, but it's just way less people. We are losing a decent amount of money when we put this on. So we're choosing not to lose money. And we just have to make decisions like that from time to time. And not make those, we have to make some of those cuts. We know that for some of you, that's not what you would like. But you know what? We love you, and we still need to make some of those decisions. So I think you understand those kinds of things. We're working diligently on a new financial model, and we have some great people that have wonderful heads in this way. The last thing, as far as these things go, is facilities. Facilities. We do evaluations here, and the consistent theme of negative words on evaluations consistently is pretty much in one area. And that is in the area of accommodations, housing, facilities. And rightly so. Rightly so. Our buildings have really deteriorated significantly, and they need a lot of work. And it's easy to get there, you know, when you say, okay, I have $10, and these things are really needed, so we'll just defer that till next year. You know, I'm doing a $10, you know what I mean, in a model sense. That's been done year after year after year after year. We just keep putting off, taking care of the facilities. And if we keep doing that, it's going to be bad. It's already not so good. So we've been working on an aggressive plan. How can we change that? What can we do to have facilities that don't have to be the fancy Taj Mahal, but they are appropriate for the people who come here, and they're not a distraction, and they're actually going to be lasting, most important, the next 20, 30, 40 years, so more people can come here and hear about Jesus Christ. So we're working on that, and then in the midst of that, we get this 37-year-old guy who says, hello, I'd like to build a whole bunch of stuff for you. I'd like to renovate like whole lodges at once for you. I'll even pay for the workers. I'll even bring them up from Southern California. All you have to do is supply the materials. Are you guys okay with that? So we have lots of revenue, and financially it's incredibly tight. And then you have a guy with an amazing vision who's been coming here since he was a little kid. And we got on the phone with him on a conference call, and we said, Tommy, we're a little nervous about May. We think the fall would be better. We just had a pretty big financial hit, and on top of that, what if things don't go right and then we can't get in those rooms because family camp is a month later? And he said, you know what? We did Gwen Lodge in November. It's too damp. It needs to be in May. To do what we do, it has to be in May. So it either take it or it's another year away. And we prayed, and his vision was strong, and ours was too. And we said, let's do it, although we didn't have the money. There's a line between faith and foolishness, right? And we believed in faith. And Jane and I can both tell you over the years, in our own lives and in the church world, and we know this has been true at Mount Hermon over the years, there's just those times when you got to take that step of faith and believe that God's going to be on the other side of it. And this is one of those times. So, JR said I was going to ask you for money. Basically, is what he said last night, right? So I'm going to ask, unashamedly. In fact, I'm pretty excited about what God's doing with this. Think of what's happening here. God has put on a heart of a builder to bring up whatever the right number is, 50, 60 of his guys, to come to this camp to, in a quick week, make a huge difference. And then they're going to come back again with their wife and kids to hear about Jesus. What's not to do about that, right? I mean, how could we not be involved with that? And then when he was done, he pulls us aside and says, okay, next May, I want to do Lakeside 600 and 700, both. I'll bring up 100 guys. Whoa. That's what he said. He said, the year after that, let's do Laurel. Okay. Okay. And really, what we thought might take years, God might do in a very short period of time. All we have to do is get the materials. So for this project, the materials are $600,000, roughly. We already had $150,000 in the bank that was left over from the Gwen Lodge project. Did you hear that? Money left over from a project at Mount Hermon. Mm-hmm. There is a God. And we've already had just slightly under $300,000 given, $295,000 and some change. So let's call it $300,000. So let's do the math. That's $450,000. So minus $600,000 is $150,000. That's what we need left for this project to finish it. So they're gone. We still got still doing painting and carpeting and wallpaper, and it'll be all done. We still need $150,000. My prayer has been that God would allow us to have $150,000 for that project before we go into summer. That's a month away from our first family camp. That's just my prayer. It might not be God's timing, but that's my prayer. Let's be done with that and celebrate that with the Lord. And then let's begin to give to get ready for the next project and then the one after that. Because God is moving here. This isn't just getting rooms done. It's getting rooms done so that people can know Jesus here and experience him and rest here and all the things we've talked about. And on top of that, the workers and their families, some of them, because of this, are going to be in heaven. Really. I believe that from the depths of my heart. And so I'm going to ask you to give generously and sacrificially. And we're choosing not to take an offering. You need to pray about this. You need some time to think about it. But I'm asking you to be sacrificial and think big because of what's behind this. This is God's movement here. And we're seeing it in all sorts of different ways, as you've seen this weekend. This is just one illustration that God's hand is on this place. So, if you wanted to give a gift before you left, registration will probably take it. JR might even take it, you know, or if you want to pray about it and then send it. But we'd be so grateful. We'd be so grateful. I'm watching the clock. I'm doing okay? All right. Remember, I'm an ex-preacher. Actually, I'm still a preacher. I'm still a preacher. Preach it, brother. I'm getting there. I just got a lot more to go here. But I want to tell you that I am grateful to God to lead this ministry. To lead a ministry that has touched you deeply personally is very special. It hasn't been an easy first 2 years. We have grieved where we left, and I thank God for that. We loved where we were. We loved the ministry. We loved the people. We left two daughters behind and now a son-in-law. That's so good that it was so hard to leave. Versus I'm knocking the dust off my feet and glad to get out of there. In fact, at the end of this month, I'm going back to preach for the first time at our old church. And I can't wait. Yeah. Yeah. We will come back. I promise. We will come back. In fact, just a side note, they have a great pastor. We've become good friends already. The church is flourishing. God's hand all the way. It's just so, so cool. But I just want to share another part that's really on my heart about making what we do here amazing. One of the things that happens here that hardly happens anywhere else, even in other camps, even though some camps have family camps, but Mount Hermon is like the rarest of the rare with what we do here in the summers. Where can you go where 7-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 27 and 37 and 47 and 57 and 67 and 77 and 87 and maybe even close to 97-year-olds like being together doing the same thing? Where else can you find that? In a spiritual context, it's unheard of. That's what we do here. It's incredible what we do here. And I want to say this strongly. Our society, our culture needs Mount Hermon. Needs it. Needs what we do here. I want to put three numbers in your head, okay? I know it's going to be, these are tough to remember, but I put them up here on the screen so you can remember them. Ready? Three numbers. One, one, one. Okay? Try to remember. Okay, we'll come back to that. We recently had an outside agency do a feasibility study as we're looking at how are we going to pay for some of the dreams that we have, how are we going to pay for all of the restoration of our buildings and all the things that need to be done here. And they went out and interviewed a bunch of people, and we learned from their poking around and asking people questions, interviewing people, that people who attend Mount Hermon, they believe in this place, they trust this place, and they want to invest in this place predominantly because of what's happened in their own life, and they want to pass that on to the next generation and the one after that. Would you agree? My parents now, a fourth generation now comes. They're now great-grandparents. And in July, the family will be here. It's the hardest week for us. the family, it's a little tricky to be the leader and have 26 family members here. But they're here, and four generations now. That's not normal. We were in China, as Bill mentioned. We were sitting in a fancy restaurant with a large round table, a Lazy Susan filled with Chinese food. I did okay, and because I'm a plain eater. And we met with the board members of Singing Deer Lodge. You know what they said to us? They said, we have a dream that someday we'll be like Mount Hermon because almost all of our Christians are first generation. And we can't wait for the day when second, third, and fourth generations are coming to Singing Deer like you have at Mount Hermon. That's incredible that very well could happen. And they're using this place as a model on how to make that happen. God cares deeply about legacies. And so let me go into pastor mode for a moment. Listen to what it says when the Israelites were going into the promised land. They were crossing the Jordan River. There was memorial rocks that were set up on the other side of the river so that they wouldn't forget. Listen to what it says in Joshua chapter 4. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? This pile of stones from the river. Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. You're going to set up these stones so that your kids say, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, what's the deal with the stones? Oh, let me tell you what God did in this place. In our backyard, for years and years, I had a stake from a piece of redwood. I carved out the top to look like the chapel. And on it, I had put with a router 1997, JN15, John 15. It's when Bruce Wilkinson taught on I am the vine, you are the branches from John 15. Our lives have never been the same because of that week here. It's the week where I changed so much about how I approached ministry. Some of you have heard me talk about it before. And we put that post out there and told our kids the story, and we put a grapevine. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and had it grow on that stake. And then a second grapevine, because the first one died. And then after we pulled that one out, we just had the stake up there. Yeah, things don't grow quite the same in Colorado. And to remind our kids and us of what God had done. Listen. Listen to Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. We need to pass on who God is to the next generation, even those who aren't born yet, and then even to the generation after that, so that they can know God and love him and follow him. And in case you haven't quite got it yet, Joel chapter 1. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and your children tell their children and their children to another generation. And that's what we do best here. God does that. So I want to make what we do here amazing. Because it, what? Works. Let's go to that 111 again. You remember that? It was tough. This year, 111 years. That's how long this place has been in action. 111 years. As I wrap up, and we'll be going to lunch here in just a second, I want to say thank you. First, I want to say thank you to my wife, who decided to go on this crazy journey with me and actually believed it was God's journey for her, too. Thank you. Yeah. I want to thank someone who's not in this room, and that's our son Caleb, who's actually a day camp counselor yesterday and today. He's still in high school, and he is in heaven because he's always dreamed of being a day camp counselor. And his name this weekend is Bronco. Yeah. And it's not been easy for Caleb, leaving in high school, changing, lifelong friends. I get emotional. But this semester, there's been a major turn. And he never went off, and he followed the Lord the whole time. He's been strong in the Lord, but he's been lonely, and he's longed for where we came from. And we see in him a new vigor and joy, and he's come alive. He's got lots of friends. There were 20 of them all dressed up for prom Saturday night, and we took their pictures. The paparazzi, there's like 30 parents taking their pictures out here. They came here. They're like, what is this place? This is cool. This is nice. He's bringing his public school friends here to take their prom pictures. Yeah, 20 of them. And a really cute girl by his side. I want to thank our board, Rick, and our trustees, Ron, and everybody that represents, the support that they have of me and the support of our staff and the support they have of you is huge, huge. They know this. I wish we met more often, which sounds weird, but I wish we did. You know, they live all over the place. They can't just come here very often. We met once a quarter with the board, twice a year with trustees. I want to thank our staff. I hope you get a feel for the quality of the people that are here, from those who serve you in the dining hall to those who clean your rooms to those who make the grounds beautiful. Do you know our maintenance guys? Every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:45, they meet, they have a little Bible study, they pray, and then they clock in and then they work. Every day, I go down sometimes and hang out with those guys. Yeah. So, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then Carrie's going to come on up and close our time. But I want to thank you. Thank you for your investment in the work of God in this place. You hear this phrase, and it's not trite for us. We couldn't do it without you. We really couldn't, nor would we really want to. It'd be kind of lonely around here without you guys. Sometimes, the staff knows this, sometimes I call it, I have to get to the other side of the street. I leave my office, and I walk over here and I sit in the back outside. I've learned not to come in here because I've set the alarm off twice, but I sit back on the benches, and I pray, and I just remember why we do what we do. I just have to get on the other side of the street, because on the other side of the street, figuratively, is you and the lives that we touch and the kids from here to Redwood to Kidder to Pondy and Conference Center to touch lives for Christ. So let me pray. Thank you so much. Lord, what a great few days it has been, and we look forward even to the next little bit we get to participate in here. Lord, this is your place, and you're moving. It's obvious, and we're grateful. Even in a time when hundreds of thousands of dollars were lost with storms, we're redoing Lakeside and other things around here. Lord, that's you that says, here you go. I'll take care of this. I'll provide. Lord, we pray for your protection of this place. We pray for your provision of this place. Lord, we pray that lives would be transformed over and over and over and over again because of your work here at Mount Hermon. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.